This Is Where We Live. I'm Lucy Nalpathanchil. Thousands of soccer fans are expected at the Rent Saturday in East Hartford for a friendly match between the U.S. men's national team and Ghana. Coming up, we'll preview the game, and we want to know, will you be there? Speaking of Ghana, did you know the number of Ghanaians has grown in Connecticut in recent decades? We'll speak to some of them this hour about Ghana, a country celebrating its 60th year of independence this year. We'll hear from Ghanaian Americans about what brought them to Connecticut and what changes they'd like to see here and in their native homeland. You can join the conversation too, 860-275-7266. Email wherewelive at WMPR.org. Find us on Facebook and Twitter at Where We Live. I want to welcome into the studio Fred Cherame, founder and editor of the Ghanaian American Journal. Fred, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Lucy.
We actually met a few months ago at a World Affairs of Council of Connecticut event, and that's where you first told me about the Ghanaian community in Connecticut. Tell our listeners about them.
Yes, Lucy, thank you very much for this opportunity. We spoke a few months ago about the Ghanaian community in East Hartford, Connecticut. I have personally lived in Connecticut for about a little over 20 years, and I started in Cromwell. I went to Cromwell High School. Ended up, I got married and moved to Manchester, Connecticut, and I've been living here ever since. And over the years, I've seen our population of Ghanaians in East Hartford grow. And there are other surrounding communities, mostly within the Hartford region. And it's exciting to see that population growth of Ghanaians, people coming in every day, some people moving from New York, kind of coming to the countryside of Connecticut a little bit, So I thought it was a good idea to, at least let people know that Ghanaians are here in Connecticut, and we are very much part of the community in everything that we do on a daily basis.
I introduced you as the founder and editor of the Ghanaian American Journal. Tell us about that. What is this venture and the purpose?
Yes, thank you. The Ghanaian American Journal is a journal that I envisioned about 3.5 years ago. I realized that over the years, I like Ghanaian news a lot. I like to follow what's going on back home in Ghana. And there was a website that I will always go to when I first moved here in 97. The internet was just, just starting out, and people, there were not a lot of places to go to get the news from Ghana. So there was this news website called Ghana Web, where I would go every day to read the news about home. And then over the years, I realized Ghana Web was not serving the needs of the Ghanaian American community because they are not based here in the United States. So there was a gap between the news flow. So I decided maybe it's something that we need to explore. And I started looking into it and decided to establish Ghanaian American Journal to fill that missing link, to ensure that Ghanaian American communities all across the United States are being served, provide information flow is going on well, and they're getting the news that they need within our communities here, because within our communities are very vibrant members and people doing so many different things. So why don't we put a spotlight on them?
You launched in March earlier this year.
What
kind of stories are you profiling of the Connecticut residents, the Ghanaian Americans here?
Yeah, so we launched in March, and right in April, the second lady of Ghana, Samira Baumia, visited Yale University for a program. And we thought it was a unique opportunity to bring her to meet the Ghanaian American community in East Hartford. So we invited her for a program, and gladly she accepted. And we had a very nice program where we invited the community on Easter Sunday of all days. And, we spoke about our unique connections and, how we can help with the new government and all the programs that they've established to help the country to move forward. So that was one of the programs we did. We've been to Atlanta to a conference of Ghanaian medical doctors in April as well, where we, for their three-day conference, we kind of joined them to explore what they're doing to help their community as Ghanaian doctors, and what they do back home to volunteer and help with medical hospitals. And that was a unique opportunity because I didn't know there were that many medical doctors within the Ghanaian American umbrella you know, who have come together to kind of help, you know, the American community and the Ghanaian community, you know. And we've done, we were in NYU last, a couple of weeks ago when the president of Ghana visited to kind of lay out his agenda for his new administration. You know, we've done other similar, smaller programs across the community as well. And, you know, the soccer game, of course, is our next big agenda.
And we'll be talking about that later in the show for the soccer fans out there. Again, a U.S. Men's team and Ghana playing in a what they call an international friendly at Rentschler Field this Saturday. So we'll be talking about soccer a little bit later. We're going to be learning more about Ghana this hour. And I wanted to introduce some other members of the Ghanaian American community that we'll hear living in Connecticut. Apostle Cecilia Boama, owner of Accra Market in East Hartford. Welcome to the show, Cecilia. Cecilia?
Thank you, Lucy.
We heard a little bit about what brought Fred to this country. Tell us about your story.
Well, I came to this country in 1982 to join my husband, as a matter of fact. And I've been with him since, with my children, you know, and other people in my family who also joined me in Connecticut.
And why Connecticut?
Well, he was initially here in Connecticut, so I had no other place to go but to join him in Connecticut.
Are you happy that you landed here?
Oh, I'm so happy. I'm so happy. I don't regret it a bit, because you know, it's a state that, you know, accept immigrants, you know. So I love it, and everything in East Hartford, where I live, it's so phenomenal, it's so great, it's so interesting. So that's why I like East Hartford.
I mentioned you're owner of Accra Market. Tell us about that.
Okay. Accra Market was established in 1991. As a matter of fact, the reason why this company came to be was our population was growing, and there was a need for the people in East Hartford or in Connecticut in general to have a taste of home, okay? Because we usually went to New York to do shopping maybe once a month, once every 3 months. And you know the traffic in New York, nobody wants to be in New York, that busy state. So I had a vision of growing in a smaller place, but eventually, you know, the business grew and I had to move to a much bigger. And that's where I built a plaza in East Hartford on 168 Burnside Avenue, and as a matter of fact, with the help of the town. So now it's not a small convenience store, but it's a supermarket that you can get everything from Africa.
And in East Hartford, a lot of people are coming to your store from not just East Hartford, Connecticut, but people from around the world that are now residing here?
Exactly. People are coming from even from Boston, Rhode Island, some even from New York when they visit Connecticut, because they know when they come to Accra Market, they're going to find everything they want. And at affordable prices, because I import some of my own goods like shea butter, like black soap, like palm oil, which was featured in Dr. House recently. So, and at affordable prices. So I have people coming all over, and it's not just on retail level. People also come for wholesaling, because most of the shops, they don't have everything. So when they come to my shop, they are able to buy in larger quantities and take it to their shops.
How diverse is East Hartford? And how diverse is East Hartford and welcoming?
Okay, East Hartford, I don't know if I can compare East Hartford to any other town, because they really, really accept us, okay? It's very, very diversified. And it's not only Africans. I see Indians, I see Chinese, you know, the town is growing with different kinds of people coming in. So East Hartford has become a center of the African community, because when you are there, you find everything that you want. The school system is good. The food is good. The people are very nice, you know, and that is why encourage people to come in and do more business in East Hartford.
And you came here in 1982. How have you seen the number of Ghanaians growing?
Oh, boy. I remember when we first met as a group in Hartford here, okay, we were just about 6 women and 18 men. So it was like 24 people. I haven't forgotten it. And it started growing. So now we have a very large number of Ghanaians in East Hartford and Connecticut as well. It's not only in East Hartford, but New Haven and New Britain and all those areas. So the population keeps growing.
You mentioned the population's growing. Are many of them young Ghanaians? What about your children?
Oh, good. Yes, some of them are young, some of them are teenagers, and, you know, they keep growing. I was blessed with 3 children, 2 girls and a boy, and unfortunately, they all moved out of state because they finished college, and the boy is an IT student. The girl, the middle one, is a journalist in Atlanta working with CBS, and then the oldest one is in New Hampshire, married to a wonderful man. And they both work at, this college. It's a prep school in Woodboro, Woodboro Academy. Very wonderful school.
Can you talk about why they left? And we hear often about young graduates leaving Connecticut. Is that the same?
I know. See, with my daughter, the oldest one, she left because she got married to a resident of that state. But the mother one, who is a journalist, they're always looking for the opportunity. Okay. And she didn't have it in Connecticut, so she had to go outside after finishing school at Columbia University. And the younger one also said, the boy, he said, "Oh, Mommy, there's nothing in Connecticut." And I said, "Why?" He said, "It's a dead state." I'm like, "Why are you saying this?" He said, "Can't you see everybody's living?" I'm saying, "Oh, my God." It hurt me a little bit because, you know, after all the investment we put in them, we will probably want them to stay in the state so that they can also do a payback to the state. But they don't find what they want in Connecticut. That's why they are moving out. But anyway, he's not far from here, just in New York. Mm-hmm. So he comes home sometimes. Yeah.
This is where we live. Today we're talking to Ghanaian Americans in Connecticut. Part of the reason, we're also going to preview the big game at Rensselaer Field this weekend, USA versus Ghana. Also in studio with us is another member of the community, John Kumsum, president of the Council of Ghanaian Associations in Connecticut. John, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Lucy.
And tell us about what led you to Connecticut.
Okay, so I came to U.S. Essentially as a student at Worcester, Massachusetts, it's called Central New England College. And after college, I was recruited by the Travelers Insurance Company as a financial analyst. And so I took the track of corporate America, and that was in 1978 when I came here to Connecticut. And I've been here since then. I moved on to Connecticut Mutual as a controller and then to Charter Oak Health Center as a chief financial officer and then to Bay State as a director of community health centers. And I semi-retired about a year and a half ago.
How have you seen the community change from the time that you came here for work in 1978, close to the time that Cecilia came? But have you seen Connecticut change and just the climate in this country change?
With regard to Ghanaians, when I got here in 78, there were only about 5 Ghanaians, and all of them work at Travelers. So there weren't that many, and they all live in Sydney Street here in Hartford. But over the years, when there were changes in the migration program where people get lottery to come over, then you kept seeing people come over. So they have multiplied, as Cecilia said, a lot. But in my days, you could count them on your fingers. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And any challenges that you faced when you came here, or noticing people's perceptions of you? Again, Americans, we tend to look at Africa as one place when it's very many different countries combined.
Yeah, that is true. The challenges that we faced was kind of loneliness. Like you leave your mom, your brothers and sisters, and you come, you know, and then you get here and there's no support system. And so it's just you alone. And sometimes you question yourself, why do I have to travel so far to make life? And we went through those kind of things. But after a while, you get used to it, and you get children, and then you stay. That's basically it.
I mentioned that you're president of the Council of Ghanaian Associations in Connecticut. Tell me about your members, what their careers are, what brought them here, all for work or education?
Most of them for education, and also through the lottery system, also for work, for self-improvement and all that. And what happened was, when people get here, they want to form groups. And usually it started out as regional groups. So we have the Ashantis, we have the Fantis, and because based on the regions in Ghana they came from. So we saw a need that one region cannot represent Ghana. Say if you have a president coming over here and the president and aspirants have come over here, one region cannot meet them. So we saw the need to form a Ghanaian association that will represent Ghana as a whole. That's where we put all the organizations together and we call ourselves Council of Ghanaian Association. Incidentally, that model is not for Hartford, Connecticut only. We have Council of Ghanaian Association in New York, in Atlanta, in Chicago, and currently we are in the process of forming United Council of Ghanaian Associations USA, so that we can address national issues.
When you talk about these communities all coming together, you mentioned when you first came, you felt lonely. You probably missed a lot of what you knew from back home. This is something that probably is alleviated when you have these associations coming together. And maybe you're from different parts of Ghana, but you have that common connection.
Yes, yes, true. Especially during our independence celebrations. Because when you do an independence celebration, you are talking about the nation as a whole. So one region alone cannot represent the nation. Just like the soccer game coming, it's a Ghanaian, it's not a regional affair. So there's indeed a need for a United Association of Ghanaians.
Cecilia, I understand you're really affiliated with the church community. Tell us about that.
Well, right now, I'm a pastor, and I'm pastoring a church in Waterbury at 1010 Meriden Road. As a matter of fact, you know, I had a calling on my life when I was young. But when I moved to the United States, you know, your whole focus is to, you know, make some money and achieve something, because life in Ghana at that time was a little bit tough. And we didn't have so many Ghanaians around, and secondly, you didn't know what to do, and I was that young. But when, as I grew up and I had the calling of my life when I was young, you know, it started coming up, and I got myself involved in the churches and until such a time that I was consecrated as an apostle, and I'm leading a church in Waterbury.
And Fred Cherame is also here, again, founder and editor of the Ghanaian American Journal. Fred, can you talk more about how the church communities in Connecticut help bring Ghanaians together?
Yes, Lucy, thank you. The church community has been a very significant part of the Ghanaian American society, because the church is the one source of commune for the community. I mean, we go to church to worship together. When we go to church, it doesn't matter where you part of Ghana you come from, you know, the region of Ghana that you come from. When you enter the church, you are all one people. And I've seen over the years that churches in our Ghanaian community have been growing. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm a member of the Catholic Church, and I've been going to that church for over 20 years. I'm the, you know, now the vice president of the church now, and, you know, whereas in the past, you know, we had the older generation leading the church, now you've seen a shift where the younger generation is being given the opportunity to take leadership roles in the church. Mm-hmm. And that's because there's been a huge, you see a lot of younger people coming in, you know, and we have to find a way to kind of reach out to them. Mm-hmm. And, you know, what best way to do it than to get some of the youth to kind of establish that link, that connection. So the church, you know, in Connecticut has been a very significant part because everybody likes to worship. You know, we all grew up going to churches with our grandparents, with our parents. And then when you grow up and you have your own kids, you realize there was something good about entering the church. And you also want to ensure that you teach your kids the importance of religion in their lives, you know, in their moral lives and religious lives. So you start going to church with your kids with the hopes that they will also continue that when they get older. Yeah.
This is Where We Live. I'm Lucy Nalpathanchil. Today, our focus is on Ghana for a few reasons. On the weekend, the Ghanaians in Connecticut and many others who love soccer will be at the international friendly game at Rensselaer Field between the U.S. men's national team and Ghana's Black Stars, as they're known. We're taking some time to learn about Ghana from Ghanaians who now call Connecticut home. Coming up, we'll learn more about how the African nation has changed in the 60 years since its independence from Britain. And you can join the conversation, 860-275-7266. Toils of the brave, which have brought results. This is Where We Live. I'm Lucy Nalpathanchil. Ghana is a West African nation where soccer is king. Coming up, we'll talk about the big match this weekend at Rensselaer Field in East Hartford. It's an international friendly between Ghana's national team and the U.S. men's team. Plenty of fans are expected. Will you be there? Some of those fans are in studio with us today as we learn more about Ghana. In studio, Fred Cherame, founder and editor of the Ghanaian American Journal, John Kumpson, president of the Council of Ghanaian Associations in Connecticut, and Apostle Cecilia Boama, owner of Accra Market in East Hartford. Now, we wanted to talk a little bit more about the country, Ghana, this year, marking 60 years of independence from Britain. Fred, talk about the significance of this.
Yes, Ghana attaining 60 years is very important to all of us. As you know, even those of us who've left the country and, you know, been living here, we always find a way to reach back to Ghana every opportunity that we can. So every independent 6 March of every 6 March in every year, what we do is we recognize the ceremony. You know, obviously there are big festivities that go on in Ghana in recognition of that, but we also ensure that we do something here to recognize that. So we have a flag day, or we have a dinner dance event where, you know, associations within the communities will meet and recognize that day. Because even though when it happened, I wasn't born at the time, I grew up to understand the importance of that on the calendar of Ghana. And I have ensured that my kids will also understand that, because that's when Ghana became independent. We became independent in 1957 and became a republic on July 1st, 1960, which makes this Saturday a very important day on my calendar, because Ghana became a republic on July 1st, 1960. So how, you know, what is so best to have the Ghana Black Stars, our national team, playing here in East Hartford, Connecticut, on our Republic Day, July 1st. So this is a very important day for us.
John, I saw you nodding your head talking about the significance of the 60th year. Tell me what you remember about living in Ghana and what this means for you.
Yeah, I was born then, so I saw what happened. Yes, there are a lot of things happened. After the independence, we had free education was introduced, and everybody could go to school free all the way through secondary school level. And they started mass education, and our mothers and fathers who couldn't write could use the school at night to learn A, B, C, D, and 1, 2, 3, and read the Bible. So there was a tremendous education, mass education, they call it, going on. And that really highlighted and increased the know-how of Ghanaians, their ability to read. And that's why you see many Ghanaians are fluent in English. And because of the mass education. It was almost like a crime not to let your kid go to school. Mm-hmm. It was mandatory. So all of us were pushed through the school system.
And I understand the education system is still pretty good. People send their children to Ghana to be educated.
That is true. That is true. So that's what I remember. And then after independence, we get into something called one-party state. Eventually, you know how the politicians, and then they're followed by military coups to undo the one-party state. And then eventually, about, say, 20, 30 years ago, we reverted into democracy. So in Ghana now, there are two main parties. There are many parties, but the setup is almost like here. Mm-hmm. And we have occasions where we have had very close elections, 50 to 49, and still there were no fights or anything, like, you know, unlike other African countries. So Ghana is very peaceful, mm-hmm. both politically and economically.
When we talk often to immigrants about their story, so often there is that connection in terms of how immigrants, when they come to this country and they make a living, it's very important for them to then continue to support their families that are still in their native homeland. Cecilia, how was that? How did you see that play out as you and your husband prospered here in East Hartford, Connecticut, and how you're supporting family back in Ghana?
Okay. Back home, we have a saying that goes, it takes a village to raise a child. It means when you are born, you are not just for your mother and father alone. You belong to the whole community and you belong to the whole family. So it's not like when you come in here, you just look to only your mom and dad. You have uncles, you have aunties, and you have this, you have that. So when you send it to only your mom and father, you are in trouble because they all took care of you. You know, they all watch out for you. Okay. So when you come here and you have the opportunity, yes, you bless them, you know, with your substance, with whatever, you know, you can do to help your family and the community at large because they all watch out for you. And once you have a job, be kind enough to bless them at home because life in Ghana at the time when I came here was very, very tough. It was very, very hard because there was a coup d'etat at that time. So people couldn't live well. They didn't have the money. People were starving and all that. So at the time that I came in, it was a very crucial time for me to support my family back home. So, you know, eventually some of them joined me here. So the pressure and the burden on me was lifted. Because they also have to come in and work for themselves. So we really, really help. I mean, if you look at the statistics that have gone out, it says that Ghana is one of the countries that people send money home a lot. Because we love the country, we like the country, and we want the best for the country. That's why when we see something here good, we take it back home.
Fred, can you talk more about that? I mean, we're hearing from John and Cecilia, you know, life was tough when they left, but Ghana has progressed. And how vital is that connection, that support that Ghanaian Americans are sending back home?
Yeah, it's important to see the progress that Ghana has made over the years. And to see that Ghanaians in the diaspora continue to support the country as much as they do. The government recognizes this, and you know, they say that without our support, the support of diasporans, the country would not be where it is today. And so, this current government, what I have seen is that they have fully embraced the idea of bringing Ghanaian Americans or Ghanaians in the diaspora in general to help the country on its march to progress. And for the first time, this current government has established what we call the Diasporan Affairs Office, where Ghanaians in the diaspora are going to be given all the support they need, whether they want to come home and establish businesses, open schools, whatever endeavor they want to do back home. This office is set up to help promote that. That has never happened in Ghana. Secondly, this new government, for the first time, has brought a lot of diasporans into this government as ministers, as directors of head of agencies to a level that we've never seen. You know, so for the first time, we are all very happy in what we've seen in this government, and that they're listening to diasporans, that they know that we have the technical skills, the ideas to help the country progress. And we want to continue to encourage them to do that, that we do have this the skills to help them, and we are dedicated on that effort, that we'll continue to support them every way we can. So in terms of remittances, obviously, we all have families, you know, that we all have to do it. Our older generation have been doing it for many years. My mom always reminds me, well, now you married, you have a job, it's your turn. So now when she asks to send money home, she calls me, Kojo, we have to send some money to your grandmother. How much can you provide? Then I say, okay, ma, here's what I have. So what does it mean? It means she is gradually moving me into that responsibility, mm-hmm. that when she's gone someday, it's my job to continue to support the people who I need back home. And I'll be doing the same thing with my kids, so they understand that there is somebody who's less fortunate than you are, mm-hmm. and you need to look back and support them. Even though you don't live in that same country with them, they are your family, they are your friends, they, you know, you need to support as much as you can. Mm-hmm. So that's something that I've always seen is unique in the Ghanaian community, mm-hmm. that we always look out for the less fortunate. Mm-hmm. We always go back and support whoever we can. We have something called Sankofa, which I'm sure you've heard before. It's a bird that, you know, is very significant in our cultural affairs. And it means we reach back and take something that, you know, was in your past to kind of help you navigate your life now, you know. So always kind of go back, you know. And you can never say, okay, now I'm here, I'm in a better place, so I'm never going to look back. Mm. There is something within your background that helped you get to this point, you know, and now it's time for you to look back. So that's why the two things, Ghana and America, to me, is very significant. Mm-hmm. I came to this country without, you know, knowing what I was getting myself into. My parents and my uncles brought me over here. And then I realized there's something good about this country. I joined the military. Mm-hmm. I joined the Connecticut National Guard. I served for 10 years, deployed twice to Iraq and Kuwait with them. Now I serve in the Massachusetts National Guard. I'm still serving after 17 years. I decided to stay because that was the little way I can pay back to all the things that I've gotten from this country. Mm-hmm. So I see myself as a Ghanaian American, and I say that because my background from Ghana is what got me to a point where I can look at myself and say, something happened in my life in Ghana. My grandparents and my parents inculcated something in me that was so significant that I can never let go of that. But there's something good that I've seen in America, and I want to bring those two good things together to mold my life, to mold the life of my kids, to mold the life of the community, anybody that I can impact. So the Ghanaian American narrative that I use is just that there's something good between these two countries. And Ghana and America are friends. You know, we do a lot of bilateral things together. Mm-hmm. So why don't we continue to deepen that relationship?
Speaking of the relationship between the U.S. and Ghana, someone's calling in with a question from West Hartford. Claire, you're on the show.
Oh, hi. I just had a question. My daughter spent 3 weeks in Ghana last summer on an exchange program in Loga, and it was a life-transforming experience. And I was wondering if any of the participants knew if there were either school exchanges or exchange programs between either schools in Connecticut or youth soccer programs, and any programs in Ghana.
Yes, thank you very much. Yes, I went to Central Connecticut State University, and when I was there, I know for a long time they had a program, an exchange program between Central and the University of Ghana, where one of the Ghanaian professors at Central spearheaded every year. And it was such a phenomenal program that I have many friends who visited Ghana through that exchange program, and I believe they still do that. I also work at University of Connecticut until recently, and I know that they have some relationship with Ghana where every summer they bring many students from Ghana and other African countries to come to the United States to teach them, you know, about technology, about life. It's a similar exchange program. and they spend the whole summer here, and then they go back and kind of, you know, whatever they learn, they take it back and do, you know, to help in every whatever they do back home. And similarly, they have students who choose to do, you know, semesters abroad or do other study abroad programs. So I know many colleges in Connecticut participate in that.
John, did you want to add something?
Yeah, so my recommendation is to try to reach the colleges themselves. Ask for exchange program, and they will be able to help you, because I know there are networks around, and they usually know. They pull their resources together. So I will reach UConn, Central, and even Department of Education, and they will be able to refer you to such programs.
Now, John, we heard Fred talking about the new president and how the country is prospering. What's your take on, I don't want to mispronounce his name, President Addo?
Yes, Akufo-Addo. I think it's a good thing, because he's someone who has experienced democracy. He was a lawyer by profession. He was trained in London. He lived there most of his time. His father was actually the first chief justice, I believe, of when Ghana became republic. So he believes in democracy, and he also does not tolerate bribery, which is something that is usually a problem for African governments. So we are all excited. And like Fred said, he's tapping people in diaspora, which are known to possess honesty, because in America, yeah, you can't come and lie. If you lie, you go to jail. And all of us cultivate habits of honesty. And so they are looking for that kind of thing. So I'm excited. And he's also reintroducing free meals for schools so that kids will be able to continue the education. And so I'm excited about the opportunity.
Now, earlier we were also talking about the relationship between U.S. and Ghana. I'm just curious about your impressions of the new administration. Any concern about how the relationship could change? I understand there were good relationships with previous presidents, Fred.
Yes, you know, in the past few years, we've seen the relationship between Ghana and the United States deepen, and we want to obviously we hope it continues, because these are two great countries, and we've done a lot of work together. Now, with the new administration, obviously coming in during the campaign, we heard a lot of rhetoric about what they were coming to do, and there were some worrying concerns for, especially for those of us in the immigrant community, that we've lived in this country over the years, and we've been law-abiding, and we continue to support the United States in every way that we can. And we obviously had some concerns about, the rhetoric against immigrants, because the American society, as we know, is a society of immigrants. And when you hear a president, incoming president, going against that the belief, you know, it kind of says some shivers under your spine. So we've been hoping that so far we've seen they've stepped up deportations against immigrants. Obviously, if someone comes to this country and does something illegal, and they are deported, that's according to the law. That's something that we have no problems with. But if people are in the process of trying to legalize themselves, or they haven't committed any crimes, or the government start going after places where people usually commune, or you know, maybe whether it's in a church or somewhere that they'll go to do the normal things that every person would do, and they get rounded up. And we've seen immigration officers in Hartford, you know, on the streets of Hartford. These are things that we never used to see as much. Yes, the law is being enforced a lot more, but we hope they continue to enforce it in a judicious way, whereby people who have not broken the law are not easily rounded up without, you know, any warning, and deported back home.
This is Where We Live. Today we're talking to Ghanaian Americans about their country, Ghana, again, celebrating its 60th year of independence. When we come back from the break, we're going to actually switch focus to soccer. That's because the U.S. men's team takes on Ghana at Renshaw Field on Saturday. We want to know, are you going to the game? Join the conversation, 860-275-7266. This is Where We Live. I'm Lucy Nalpathanchil. Are you a soccer fan glued to the World Cup each year? Well, you might remember this moment in 2014.
USA making a really bright start, and there might be a chance already for Dempsey. What a start! 31 seconds played. Clint Dempsey so quick off the mark. Different kind of emotion now. Jurgen Klinsmann's up off the bench. Jurgen Klinsmann's USA are up and running.
Incredible start. A little nutmeg there. He goes past the defender. And what a finish. Opens his body, puts it in off the post. Clint Dempsey, great start for USA.
Now, that was the opening goal of a game in 2016 that USA went on to win against Ghana's Black Stars. Saturday, the two teams meet again at Renshaw Field, officially called Pratt & Whitney Stadium, for a warm-up known as an international friendly game. Still a lot of excitement for soccer fans, including some of our in-studio guests. With us today again are Fred Cherame, founder and editor of the Ghanaian American Journal, John Kumpson, president of the Council of Ghanaian Associations in Connecticut, also Cecilia Boama, owner of Accra Market in East Hartford. And joining us by phone now is Derek Kwasi Minta. He lives in Manchester and is a member of both the Central Connecticut Soccer Officials Association and U.S. Soccer Federation referee program. Derek, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Nancy.
It's Lucy, but it's okay. So, Derek, tell us about this game, what it means to you to be attending on Saturday.
Oh, it means a lot. I mean, the way you just, the last segment that you just played it there, kind of brought back memories. I want to say that day was one of the saddest days in my life, to say, because U.S. beat Ghana. So it means a lot. It means a lot. It means everything. Soccer in Ghana, and soccer, either soccer is life. It's what we do. We do soccer. You know, we go to work, we go to school, and then we do our soccer. So it's everything.
And why is soccer so big in Ghana? Because in the United States, we have so many sports to follow. It's pretty distracting for us here.
Exactly. And that's why it's big. Because in Ghana, that's all we do with soccer. It's like, rather than many sports, the biggest sports on stage is soccer. So everywhere in Ghana you go, soccer. Kids, older men, older women, you know, everyone do soccer. So that's why it's big. It's something that brings us all together. It brings the whole nation a standstill. If it's a game, everybody stops and watch.
And we certainly hear a lot of people that are interested in attending this Saturday. Also on the phone with us now is Mike Kane. He's president of the Agents of Hail, and it's a support group for the Hartford City FC, a soccer team based here in Hartford. Mike, welcome to the show.
Lucy, thanks for having me. Much appreciated.
So talk about the excitement of this game, U.S. Versus Ghana, and why here in Connecticut are these international friendlies played?
I think over the years, the Hartford and Connecticut soccer community has shown time and time again that we can support soccer. And you see that at Hartford City FC games. But if you've been at any of the U.S. men's or women's national teams matches at Rensselaer Field over the last 5-6 years, we've very close to sold out or sold out every single one. And that's because there is this profound love for soccer here. And you, like you said, this is a very diluted kind of sports atmosphere in the United States because we have so many sports to choose from. But Connecticut has shown that we love soccer and they show up in droves. It's Americans. In this case, it'll be Ghanaians. It's people from all over the world coming in and supporting soccer in Connecticut.
Tell us about who to watch at the game on Saturday from the U.S. men's team, Mike.
So from our perspective, this is a warm-up match like it is for Ghana. We have our Gold Cup tournament coming up the rest of this month. So we're looking at a few players that are really not only going to help us in this tournament, but in World Cup qualifying and the World Cup moving forward. So we have regular starters in the roster, like Omar Gonzalez and Alejandro Bedoya, who play on the biggest stages and will be playing regularly for the U.S. But we are also looking at some young up-and-comers. My personal favorite right now is Kellen Acosta. He plays for FC Dallas. He's 21 years old, but you'd never know it by watching him play. Jordan Morris, same situation. He plays for Seattle. He's only 22. He actually first started playing for the U.S. national team while he was still playing in college. So we're looking mostly for these young up-and-comers to support the senior national team.
And Derek, I'll go back to you. Who should we watch playing for the Black Stars?
Oh, you look out for Asamoah Gyan to cap, more goals. Dede Ayew is coming. Ajuman Bedu, they're all coming. And we got a few young stars, also rising stars in the making, and they're all going to be on stage.
Now, Mike, you mentioned that soccer fans, they turn out for these games. And obviously the World Cup is a very important sporting event for many countries. So do you see lots of these different immigrant communities in Connecticut or nearby in Rhode Island, New York, coming to these games just because they love the sport so much?
Yeah, it is. And you know what? This match, it is a friendly. There is no real competition on the line here. What I look at it as, and what, the American Outlaws, the supporters group for the U.S. national team and the soccer community as a whole, they look at this game as a big celebration. There are people driving from all over the place to see this game. And it's a big celebration. We're starting with, American supporters are starting the night before the game. We'll all be at Tavern Downtown in Hartford, welcoming people from all over the country that are coming in and staying in hotels so that they have a place to go and people to meet and soccer to talk about. And it's, we'll be tailgating 4 hours before, and it will be people from New York, Rhode Island, but also West Virginia and California. And not just the country, but immigrant communities and refugees that are coming in and watching soccer because they love it. And they might not even have a specific connection to the game on Saturday, but they're coming because they do genuinely love the game.
Well, Mike, thank you so much for joining us for just a little bit of the conversation. I wanted to go back to our in-studio guests. Fred, you mentioned the significance of this game happening on July 1st. And tell us a little bit about how the Ghanaian community is getting together for the match.
Yes, we are super excited. When you played that little short clip, I had goosebumps because I remember that day I was in the same room with Derek. We were watching the game with our families and all our friends. And we were so ready to win a third straight game against the U.S. And, we were disappointed, but it's okay. This is another opportunity. It's a friendly, international friendly match. But somehow, when it comes to Ghana and the United States, there's still a little competition somewhere. So we're going to try to reclaim our victory again. This match is so significant, especially for those of us here in Connecticut, because the United States is such a huge place, and there are so many biggest states and cities across the U.S. that this game could have been played. So for us, it's quite unique for the first time that the Black Stars are coming here to East Hartford, Connecticut, our backyard, we've been getting ourselves ready. The U.S. Soccer Federation was selling tickets online. We realized that some of our people do not go online to shop or buy things, online. So we formed a relationship with the U.S. Soccer Federation, and we were able to acquire a bunch of tickets for them so they can go and sit in the same place. Because when Ghanaians go to the stadium, we like to sit in our own little place, and we sing our songs, and we hit our drums, and we wear our colors. Yeah.
And Fred, we're hearing from a listener wants to know, if she can't go to the game, can she watch this somewhere?
Yes, it will be on ESPN Live. So ESPN is the place to watch. And we ask everyone to join us at Silver Lane, the Silver School, right across from the stadium. The Ghanaian community, we are having a tailgate party right before from 10 to 4 p.m. before the game. So we ask everyone to join us.
Thank you, Fred Cherimay, John Coomson, Cecilia Boama, for joining us. Also, Derek Quasimenta for joining us as well. This is Where We Live, and we'll find out who wins, the USA or the Black Stars.